Royal One, you ride into our lives and you reshape our world. You overturn expectations by being something other than what we would expect. Yet you are exactly the king that we need. Enter once more. Rule our hearts and show us your path. Remind us that new life comes for you after the cross, but also that new life comes to us in our every opportunity to turn and follow you. It is in your strong name, O Christ, that we pray this day. Amen. So, have you ever had to fight with yourself over whether something is what you want or what you need? It's pretty easy to get these two things mixed up because, you know, we need water. Gotta have it. We gotta stay hydrated. And yet, some mornings just don't get started unless I get what I really need. Coffee. My body tells me that to truly wake up, I need water, yes, but it's gotta be heated and filtered through ground coffee beans. Now, while I may be suffering from caffeine addiction, it doesn't change the fact that I don't really need coffee to live. And really, I'll be better hydrated if I don't heat the water up and filter it through coffee beans. But just because I know that doesn't change my choice in the morning when I'm presented with either a cool, refreshing glass of water or a revitalizing hot cup of coffee. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be coffee. The 10th is because I don't have coffee. This is a pretty minor example of what we see in our day-to-day lives, where we see a thing and we have to discern whether it's something we need or just something we want really, really bad. And it's not always about what we need to live, like water. Sometimes it comes down to what we need to communicate. Like right now, I have a perfectly good phone that I need for work and I need for life. But there's a new version of this phone with incrementally better features than this one and a slightly better battery life. A significant price tag, yes, but I can spread that out over 2 years. I need that, right? Again, we can look into our own lives and see examples of times when we've wrestled with that question of whether it's something I need or something I want. I ask this question and invite you to look back on your own lives because as we begin Holy Week today, we, like our brothers and sisters of millennia past, are going to have our wants confronted. Forced to be present in a place where we need to be. Very much like Advent, Lent is a season that we want to get through. Easter is the finish line, and we want to get there, hear the good news, celebrate new life, and cry out, "Hallowed be!" this awesome Easter day. Can't say that other word, remember? Hallowed be this awesome Easter day. We want that. We want that because Lent can feel mournful when we aren't allowing ourselves to be prayerful. It can feel like a 40-day trudge through the teachings of Christ when it should be a 40-day journey of reflection on how our faith does and should impact the choices that we make in life. Throughout Lent this year, we have been steeped in the teachings of Christ. Teachings that aren't just nice sayings, but can deeply impact how we live our day to day. We began way back on that first Sunday of Lent with a teaching of forgiveness and how it's not something that we do once or twice, but over and over again. Pretty hard for those of us who like to hold a grudge. The next 3 Sundays challenged us on what justice means in the kingdom. For the laborers in the vineyard, it didn't matter who was there first, so long as someone was faithfully working for the kingdom. Then we heard about that wedding banquet, that all-inclusive banquet that brought in even the lowest and the least, only for one to be thrown out at the end for not being properly attired. A reminder that showing up isn't enough. That while God's grace is a gift given freely, we must be open to receiving it. Then there was the parable of the bridesmaids and the teachings that we must be willing to sacrifice, to stay awake, because none know the day or the hour of Christ's coming. Last week was our final teaching of Christ in Lent. It's the parable of the sheep and the goats. And for me, this teaching, more than any other, captures the Christian mission. Feed the hungry, quench the thirst, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, heal the sick, and visit the imprisoned. Our mission as followers of Christ laid out, quite simply. And it's a road that we're called to walk, not because it will get us into heaven, because it gets us through the doors of the kingdom. It's a road that we're called to walk because it's right. Because caring for our brothers and sisters in this world is right. If we're being really honest with ourselves, we might categorize these teachings more as something we need than something we really want. Because the truth is, forgiveness is hard. And getting there first usually means getting more credit. Showing up on time and the other person being late usually isn't on us. And if we're not told, how can we know? If we're not told the road that we should be walking, how can we know to walk it? But Christ's teachings are about what we need, about what the kingdom is like, about who we can be when we listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings. And just as we have been walking with Christ and taking in his teachings, so too have the people of his own day been walking with him, taking in those same teachings. For both us and them, the journey seems to come to a climax here on Palm Sunday with Christ riding like royalty into Jerusalem. But unlike our first century brothers and sisters, we know that this isn't the ultimate event. Nor even is it the penultimate event. We know that there's more to come. We know there is still Good Friday, the cross, the tomb, and Easter morning, the miracle. But should knowing what is coming, even maybe wanting to skip it, make today any less significant for us than it was for our kindred who were living it? Does it make Christ any less the king that we need in our own lives? In our reading today, we saw people rejoicing, shouting, Hosanna. Shouting to this man who came riding into town. But they weren't just shouting nonsense in joy at the prophet's arrival. Hosanna. What does it mean? Anybody know? I know that there were some people with me at my retirement home services. What's it mean? Save us. We are saved. Salvation has come. That's what the people were shouting when they were shouting. They were shouting, we are saved. Finally, this man, this son of David, has come to save us. Come to oust the Romans. Come to reshape a faith that has forgotten so many of us. Come to give Israel back to the people. At least that's what they wanted. They wanted a warrior king, a political powerhouse, a general. And so when they saw this man, Jesus, a man who thumbed his nose at religious and political elite on many occasions, they shouted, Hosanna! We are saved! Because they thought they were getting exactly what they wanted. But they didn't get that. We know that's not how things turned out. The story that continues beyond the palm branches and that celebration reveals Christ to be very different, a very different kind of man and a very different kind of king. And yet his life, his death, and his ultimate resurrection made him the king that they needed. One who cared more about people than power. One who gave himself willingly, not for political or religious authorities, but to God's authority. By his life and by his teachings, he inspired people in a way that changed the face of the earth for thousands of years. By his death and resurrection, he showed people the lengths to which God will go for love of us. Not what they expected. Not even what they wanted. But it was what they needed. For us, knowing the outcome doesn't actually change anything. We come today waving these palm branches, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, heralding the coming of the King. And when we shout, we mean the same thing. We're shouting, save us. Because we want God to break into our world and set right what is wrong. We want Christianity to be the center of people's lives in the same way that it was not so long ago. We want a Christ who comes to heal our brokenness, take us by the hand and show us the way. But just as our first century kin didn't get what they expected, so too are we confronted with a Christ that might not be what we asked for. But it's still the same Christ riding into town 2,000 years ago. Because his teachings then mean the same as they do now. His life given for love is for love of us as much as it was for love of those who stood at the foot of the cross. Christ walked and continues to walk among us, not to lead us by the nose, but to show us how to walk. Christ was and is the embodiment of what the laws and the prophets are, a guide to living justly and rightly with God and with one another. So often we treat the law like shackles when they were meant to set us free. In the same way, Christ's teachings, whether in action or parable, are meant to reorient us, to soften hearts made hard by hate, to open hands long clenched in anger, and to set our feet long frozen by fear to walking. Christ is our King, and it is good and right that we should shout loud hosannas as he rides into our lives each and every day. Because he has indeed come to save us. But he rules our hearts through wisdom and love rather than by right or by fear or by power. Something else that happened in today's reading that's worthy of mention is the state of the city as Christ rode into town. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, the scriptures read. In turmoil is one way to translate the Greek word seismos, a word that can mean turmoil, stirred, or uproar, but the root of seismos is earthquake. When Jesus comes to town, when he enters our hearts, he shakes us to our core, and what a joy it is to be so moved. Not the king that we expected. Maybe not the king we even wanted, but he's the king that we need right now. Amen.